You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I don't know who the richest person in America is off of residuals. But if it isn't one of the members of the cast of Charmed, then my whole worldview has been shifted. I woke up today. I got back from Heat Knicks, and I watched the end of Mavs Warriors. It was a great game. Draymond, again, brilliant, walking the line. And I started watching Inside the NBA, and I fell asleep. And I woke up this morning, and of course I was met by Charmed.
Death Taxes.
And Charmed in the morning, right?
I don't know when it's Charmed or when it's Supernatural. Because they have those kind of playing back-to-back. I never know which one's which.
I don't know which one's
the shot. I don't know if you're telling me right now if it's Charmed or if it's Supernatural. I don't know.
They're shot very similarly. They have very similar themes. And the actors in it...
Are they vampires, witches? What are they?
Supernatural guy from Gilmore Girls. That's all you need to know.
Okay. I don't know.
I know that Alyssa Milano is in Charmed. That's how I know it's Charmed. When I see Alyssa Milano and... Piper, whatever her name is. But I thought about how many sporting events are aired on TNT, right? You've got all types of things, including wrestling, right? And people just leave it on and wake up, the TV's on, and that's what's on. And I said, man, their ratings should be through the roof, which means the residuals must be paying out of the wazoo, right? Alyssa Milano must be just living, caking, right?
The craziest part about Alyssa Milano making all those residuals is that she still, a couple of months ago, asked people on Twitter donate to a GoFundMe to help send her son's travel baseball team to Cooperstown.
I donated.
No, you didn't. I didn't. It's really unbelievable. The reaction was insane. Wait, if you look, the tweet has 12.1 million views.
She put up a GoFundMe?
She made news doing it. Like, people trolled her for it, being like, you're...
Yeah, the tweet says, my son's baseball team is raising money for their Cooperstown trip. Any amount would be so greatly appreciated. You can read more about the team and make a donation here.
Can you
and
click on the link
to GoFundMe?
How much did she raise?
Let's find out.
Here's the thing, like...
$15,452.
She raised
What was the goal?
The goal was 10,000.
This is a current bit, right?
It has
no,
to.
This is real.
This wasn't current, but no, this is something.
It does feel like
this
a current.
Feels like, yeah.
Ginny
like
Fine,
where Larry says, I feel kind of feel like.
And Nolan, $100.
You could just pay for it yourself. And it's not, it's not like your child is playing on an inner city baseball team. Oh, the poor children. How are they going to get the Cooperstown?
Vinny Ackley, $15.
Like, real talk, though. Like, beyond that, she's rich, right? And she could just easily just fork out 10K in her sleep. Off of a month's worth of proceeds from Charmed or whatever, right?
The internet says she's worth 10 mil.
Donald Trump 2024, $5.
All right. Beyond that, I'm pretty sure Alyssa Milano's kid probably lives and plays on a team that is sourced from children of means, meaning all of these parents of the other kids. Forget about her being rich and famous. They're all well-to-do. well-to-do enough that collectively they can come up with the 10K on their own. Like, they're not, these kids aren't playing in South Central, right? She's not, she didn't take her kid, said, no, we gotta go drive down to a rough neighborhood so he gets a real baseball education, right? This is absurd.
I have the description of the GoFundMe. Uh-huh. It says, baseball is life and our teammates are our brothers. Baseball gives us purpose and we are driven to be our very best. In order to compete, we must raise funds. The Birds 12 and under team is coached by two great coaches, and our team is diverse, hardworking, and really good.
Okay, maybe
we've won many championships.
Yeah,
rings.
But to Amin's point, why are we raising funds for Alyssa Milano?
We should not be.
Right.
Or Alyssa Milano's rich friends.
That's a weird way to say it. We've won many championship rings.
Oh, then cash them in.
I don't know if you have. Get pawn that. Shop.
Yeah.
Our coaches instill lessons not just about baseball. They teach us leadership skills and life skills.
Oh, I'm sold.
They are good people.
Not my coaches.
We are lucky to have them.
The kids wrote that, clearly.
No. That's a parent. That's a parent.
No
trying.
Way.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, my God. 100% that's a parent.
No, that's a parent.
Dad.
Yes.
That's the most travel ball parent I've ever heard.
Yeah.
In and the idea less. That travel ball parent is raising money, just none of it makes sense.
Just ridiculous. And then I got to watch Charmed in the morning. That's the worst part.
People always want to talk about, like, oh, like coaches, they teach you all these things.
And what voice is this?
I hated my coaches. I quit soccer for like 2 weeks because I hated one of my coaches so much.
Did I hate my coaches?
Everyone's had a bad coach.
Everyone's had a bad coach.
I had one bad coach. He was a Greek guy. He was like Greek, like very Greek.
I realized after I left school.
Favored his son.
Did he call himself the Greek?
No, but his son was on the team. His son sucked, and he was like, but played him all the time. I'm like, come on, man.
That guy.
I thought my coach was good in high school, and then as I've gotten older, I realized he wasn't. You ever have one of those things? Like at the time,
you were just a kid, so I didn't learn it.
And now I have. What did he do to you as a kid that you realized later on was not good?
I don't want to go into too much detail.
He's listening to the show. That's one of the things about Chris and Billy and Tony and Jerbear and Mike that's underrated. There's a lot of like South Florida listenership that you know a guy who knows a guy that's going to listen to this.
I run into this guy like once a year.
No one from my high school is listening to this. My coaches were assholes.
Chris and I had the same coach.
I'm not even sure I should say. You know what? I'm going to protect identities here. But I had.
He wasn't Greek.
No. I had someone who listens to the show who I was thrashing on the show for years. Not a celebrity, but it was is a friend of someone who's famous, right? And yesterday he approached me and he was like, dude, I love you. Like, why are you always killing me on the show? And I'm like, oh, man.
Now you have to tell us who it was.
I can't. I don't know. Maybe I should.
Sports related?
Sports related.
You're in too deep, man.
I'm in too deep.
Yeah. You can always bleep it after.
Yeah, you did it to yourself.
There's someone that Amin always crushes.
That's what I'm trying to think
show.
Of right now.
I'm going to tell you. It.
First, I thought it was someone that rhymes with but that's not. Yeah.
No, what are you doing? Man Van Gundy.
What are you doing? Not
even as a joke.
Draft Kring. I marked it.
No. It's so remember Ramona Shelburne's report from the bubble about Duncan Robinson and how he has imposter syndrome and it basically I
was it Duncan?
No, it was Duncan's friend that met him in the bubble.
Unbelievable.
So the story is they're in the bubble and Duncan was playing great. He was shooting amazing, right? He played great the whole year, but in the bubble he was on another level. And then they're playing, I think they're either at the finals or it's deep in the playoffs, and LeBron is walking by and says, what's up, Dunk? And he said, what's up, Bron? And Duncan Robinson's friend is sitting there and he's like,
you crushed that guy.
Dude, he was
that's
like,
that's the guy you always
you know
crush.
LeBron? Like, how crazy is that? He's like the greatest player ever. And you're just some guy from, you know, from Maine or New Hampshire, wherever he's from, whatever. And like after that, nothing was the same because then Duncan Robinson, that aura of invincibility was broken because he realized, wait a second, I am just some guy. And these are the greatest players ever, whatever.
That is LeBron.
And that is LeBron. And he went through like this slump or whatever. And I was crushing the friend. I said, it's all your fault. That's why you got to bring. You got to know who to bring. You can't bring people who break that aura of invincibility. I've run that bit for years, right? For years. Anytime Duncan Robinson has a bad game, I always blame the friend. Yesterday, I met the friend, and he's the nicest guy ever. And he's like the worst.
He came face to face with your demon.
No, Sugats. This is way people think. Oh, I mean, you talk all that shit, and then you run into people. What happens? They think that like people. What I'm afraid of are like, hey, mother effer, like you da da da. I'm not afraid of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, like, come at me, bro. The thing I'm afraid of is what happened last night, which is the guy was like, dude, I listen to you all the time. I love your stuff. Like, why are you crushing me?
And then you feel badly about it. I felt awful. Right? For the rest of the evening.
The take still
for the rest
stands,
of time,
right?
Really.
I felt awful. Yeah, the take's it. I told him. I was like, but you know. You.
He feels so bad, he won't reverse the take.
No.
Oh, no.
That's all right. Duncan's fine now.
But I will never have that take again for two reasons. One, I think Duncan has moved past it, finally.
Well past it.
Right? And two, because I'm a decent human being, and I understand feelings. And people think Amin has no empathy. I'm here to tell you, where's my camera? I care. I care about you. I don't want anyone to feel bad. I want you guys to feel good. Sometimes my harsh realities do rub people the wrong way. But ultimately, I've learned, and I'm going to be more conscientious in the future.
Sure.
Does anyone have a pen I want to mark down? Wednesday, April 3rd, Amin and Jeremy Taché say Duncan Robinson has moved past it. Okay. Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world. But once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time! To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
Again, started on the breakfast flan.
Oh, man. I've been singing a song to myself all morning long. What? Breakfast flan. Da-na-na-na.
Stugatz.
You never heard the breakfast flan
no,
song?
No, hit me with it.
Okay. I wish I had some breakfast flan. Breakfast flan. Where can I find a breakfast like that?
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
I was listening to Alanis Morissette the other day, and I was just like, what is she doing with her voice?
Which song?
It was, I got one hand in my pocket, and then one on playing a piano.
What was she doing with her voice? Yeah. I mean, that's an old song.
I know.
That's turn of the century right there.
I know, that's more than that. That's 20 CB right there. But like, she has a good singing voice, but then all of a sudden, I guess everyone in the 90s was guilty of this, of doing that.
Kind Eddie Vedder.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could see, like, before Pearl Jam, there were very few people that would get there, and then Eddie Vedder hit it big and then inspired a whole generation of vocal imitators.
Yeah, it's
I was doing DMB during the break.
Oh.
Is that what made you think?
Yeah, that's something in the morning. Now, here's the funny part. There's only one person who has held strong to this singing style to this day. Shakira. Like, Shakira still does that voice. It's like she was influenced in the 90s and, like, you know what? Never giving this up. It's like someone's still using autotune right now.
What? Finally, massive NFL trade. Massive. Stephon Diggs is leaving Buffalo. He's being traded to C.J. Stroud's Houston Texans.
Huge.
That is now a very potent Houston Texans offense helmed by a very promising quarterback that was really good last year, headed into year two. If Tank Dell gets healthy, Tank Dell had a very impressive campaign last year before the injury. Is he the best number three wide receiver in the league? Because you got Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell with C.J. Stroud at quarterback. Brevin Jordan, who's a speed demon at tight end, went to the U.
They have Dalton Schultz, too.
Yeah, they upgraded at the running back position, right?
They have Singletary, who's been playing really well.
Yo, that might be also the number one ranking.
They got Mixon.
They got Joe Mixon.
I'm saying they had Singletary played well last year. Mixon now in for them.
That is a very fast team.
But also the best wide receiver names trio in the entire NFL, easily. You got Nico, Diggs, and Tank. That's some names right there. Give me a receiving corps with a better group of
names. We were actually debating as this news broke who's the number one
in Houston. There were actually some people voicing that Tank Dell could be number one.
Really? Over
Diggs? I think it's Nico Collins just based off of recent form. The way that Nico closed this season, much of that output may be because Tank Dell went out, but Nico is a very good receiver in his own right. And Diggs, as the Buffalo offense found its form after getting rid of Ken Dorsey, he just wasn't putting up big production. And there was a perfect pass headed his way in the playoffs, and he didn't find a way to make the play. He's played for a while. It would stand to reason that he's certainly at the tail end of his career, but maybe now is when you start seeing a big dip in production. He's not the number one, I don't think.
He's
anymore.
30. He's 30. Yeah. So, like, I think
that's
he still has
age,
a good, like, 3-4 years of still being a top-tier wide receiver. Like,
he doesn't last have couple to be
games,
there.
Sure, but his last couple games, Kansas City at 24 yards. Dallas, he had 48 yards. Chargers, he had 29 yards.
That's bad.
New England, he had 26 yards.
Real bad.
Miami, last game of the season, he had 87 yards. So, was it the rift started somewhere in there with him and Josh Allen? Because I feel like that's when things started coming out.
Start last year?
They've almost been breaking up for 3 years over there because everyone saw this Josh Allen contract coming, and it would be really difficult for them to keep Diggs with Josh Allen eating up so much of their money. And Diggs would kind of leave crumbs, letting people know that he wasn't necessarily super happy there.
So this happened yesterday, actually. Robert Griffin III had a post where he's questioning whether Diggs is essential to Josh Allen's high-level performances before declaring that, yes, he is. And then a Twitter user named The Peaky Pirate responded with, "Does Josh benefit from having a top-tier receiver? Yes. Is he essential to success? No." And Diggs responded to The Peaky Pirate by saying, "You sure about that?"
I mean, Diggs,
"You sure about that?"
Diggs would have an argument because Josh Allen, if you look at his career, it certainly changed for the much better once Diggs arrived. And now you look at that Buffalo offense, and they have to address some of these things in the draft, too. They lost their 2 top receivers in free agency, but Diggs looks to be on the way down, and Gabe Davis was really frustrating to watch. But Diggs can certainly – he has merit to his argument if he wants to take some credit for Josh Allen's success. But how about Houston? That is really fascinating team.
There are a few things that I love more than a team that you're saying, nice little team, you guys are going to get a hero in a couple of years, and then they do a move. It's like, oh, no, we're trying to be there now. Yeah. I love those deals.
Yeah, when you have the quarterback on the rookie contract, you can already say if you're drafting the quarterbacks in the league right now to start your franchise, you may be stunned where C.J. Stroud goes. Honestly,
let's do it. Let's rank quarterback.
It feels like an all-in move for them.
Yeah. Well, you have to be when you seize the windows. When they were a playoff team, they won a playoff game last year. You have the young quarterback. Cheap. You go for it.
Yeah, you absolutely go for it. You put them chips in the middle of the table and say all in. I love an all-in move. I love it.
Stephon Diggs is an all-in move.
He was.
Absolutely.
He was for Buffalo, and I think that this is an all-in move there.
It's all-in move.
Super, super potent.
They already addressed their running back situation. They got Joe Mixon, who's still really good. Mm-hmm. Who else do you have that would be an all-in move? You have the quarterback. The defense is good.
This team's ready.
Offensive line is decent.
This team is announcing itself, Jessica, saying, hey, you guys are talking about tomorrow. How about today? How about right now?
Sounds like Stephon Diggs trying to win a Twitter fight. You think he like called his agent and was like, hey, I got something to prove.
Back me up here.
I got to show these Buffalo fans something next year.
Oh, my God. I love that idea of like, oh, man, now I said that shit. I got to make
God
something.
Damn it.
What quarterback can I tie to who's really good?
Dude, that's a hell of a – so hold on. I want to do this. I want to rank quarterbacks because I was out with some friends about a week ago.
Wait, you can't do this without Stugatz.
No? Okay.
Next segment.
Well, it's ranking quarterbacks that you'd want to start your franchise with.
Yes.
If all these quarterbacks entered some sort of fantasy draft scenario, we all agree that Patrick Mahomes would go number one.
Yes.
He's still
contract
plenty young.
Neutral? Like that?
No. Even at the number that he's at, he's proven.
Yes.
You have Patrick Mahomes on. Doesn't matter what kind of disarray your locker room may be. Doesn't matter how bad your wide receiver production
this
may
year
be.
Definitely
it's all good.
That,
yeah.
That is true.
You can be in the Super Bowl conversation every year.
Also have a really good defense.
But I think for the rest of the list, money does matter. Lamar Jackson?
I think Stroud would go over Lamar Jackson in these scenarios.
Let's do this. CJ Stroud versus insert name.
You think Stroud over Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, especially at the camp number, just entering year two. I think CJ Stroud showed a lot there. But
that kind of alters it, though, because if you're doing it on a rookie deal, and wouldn't everybody technically be on a rookie deal if we were all drafting?
No, in this scenario, you slot them where their contracts are at.
It's a dispersal draft.
Yeah. And also, even if their contracts were the same, I wouldn't hesitate. It's CJ Stroud over Lamar Jackson. Wow. Would not hesitate in the least. No, from this point forward, no hesitation.
Let's cut to the chase.
Honestly, I'm offended that you would take Lamar
Jackson. Hold on. Is there a quarterback beyond Mahomes that you would take over CJ Stroud? Any quarterback?
I'd probably take Josh Allen still.
Nah. Really?
Yeah, no,
from
still
here on out?
Nah, bro.
From here on out?
No way.
Josh Allen, I think, deserves to be in the conversation, but I would take C.J. Stroud.
There's a ton of caveats, though, because now we're just playing who's the best young quarterback on a rookie deal. Oh, it's C.J. Stroud.
Literally,
okay, the game's over.
That is the game.
Then the game's over.
That was the gambit.
Then the game's over.
But
okay, it's C.J. Stroud.
Justin Herbert, he's going to get his – the money is going to kick in.
Should we talk about it?
Can we talk about something here?
We've been cooking up a little bit of a conspiracy theory.
So Jim Harbaugh's been talking about how J.J. McCarthy's like the greatest quarterback who ever lived, and – I don't doubt him. I don't think he's like doing a thing there. I think J.J. McCarthy is really his guy and someone that's very special to him. But now that he's the head coach of the Chargers, I think he should put his money where his mouth is.
I think
he should trade Justin Herbert and draft J.J. McCarthy. If he really buys into J.J. McCarthy, what does he have to lose?
I've got J.J. McCarthy picking up the phone. Hello, coach. I heard what you said the other day, and I was just wondering, like, if it's not too much of a problem, can I play for you and possibly be the starter too? Like his voice is cracking and everything.
I think here's how the draft goes.
Uh-huh.
I think Patrick Mahomes goes number one.
Yes.
I do think C.J. Stroud probably goes number two.
What about?
And I think Caleb Williams goes number three.
What about Joe Burrow had he not signed the deal?
Burrow is in that top five. Even with the deal and the injuries, I think Joe Burrow is a top five in this fantasy draft.
Mm.
I also don't think that you can discount a quarterback like Drake May.
If J.J. McCarthy, but you get four first-round picks for Justin
Herbert? How I know the draft is approaching, when the quarterback that Michigan was hiding all year is now considered to be the second-best quarterback in there, and people are going through Drake May's Twitter, Instagram follow. And people are dissecting cell phone colors. This is all ridiculous.
Is it ridiculous or is it the magic of
the season? We watched Drake May. We watched J.J. McCarthy. It's clear who the better quarterback is from just how the team designed their offense. They had plenty of success, and I've heard J.J. McCarthy now all of a sudden can make all the throws. Why didn't he make them in Michigan?
Yeah.
Why didn't he? Like, I know that they had a style. It worked out. They're champs. But it seemed as though they were hiding him.
They were. It doesn't seem. It is.
That's
the biggest play of their season was an unbelievable play that a receiver made on a poorly thrown ball.
And it was also tipped.
Yeah.
Just a tip.
Hey.
Harbaugh knows how to win with J.J. McCarthy. Just saying.
He gets McCarthy.
Put your money where your mouth is.
So we're looking at the mock draft, right?
Jordan Love is a top 10 pick in this draft. In this quarterback draft.
Okay.
Jordan Love?
I can allow that.
Yeah, Jordan Love. Certainly top 10.
Top 10.
Chargers have 5. Why not? Uh-huh. You take the picks, right? You go up and you get McCarthy at 2. You trade with the commies, right? You move up to 2.
Uh-huh.
Now you get a wealth of picks on the back end, and then what you do is you take J.J. McCarthy 2 overall, right? This is our guy.
Right.
Herbert's gone. Hey, all of a sudden, who do the commies have that the Chargers had last year? Austin Eckler.
There you go.
You need to fill in the running back spot.
Back?
No. Hmm. Second round, 37th pick, Blake Corum. 1-2 punch.
And now you've got your core.
Your Michigan core. You've got Harbaugh. You've got McCarthy. You've got Blake Corum. 1-2-3.
I don't know.
No, it sucks. I like the idea.
I like the idea. It goes to Jessica's thing. It's like you talk all that shit. Now let's see.
Back it up.
Yeah, back it up.
I would like to see the Michigan offense with Justin Herbert there, though.
Should draft Zinter.
Justin Herbert's a really good quarterback.
Would he be top 10?
He would be in the top 10.
Would he?
Of this quarterback. You have any quarterback you want, provided that they're at that contract number. Oh, yeah. I think Justin Herbert goes top 10. Yeah.
Tua?
No, not top 10.
No to Tua?
Not top 10. He goes in the first round, though.
Kyler Murray?
Justin Fields.
I think Tua would go over Kyler.
No, you think so?
They're neck and neck.
Kyler's had bad teams that he's elevated to make a little bit better. Like, he's never had.
Jalen Hurts?
I don't have conviction over that. I could see teams liking Kyler Murray more. You like Kyler Murray more than Tua.
What about what she said, Jalen Hurts?
Again, I think that's that same tier. But what I'm saying is C.J. Stroud is certainly a tier above.
What about Baker?
He's terrible.
Don Levitard.
We got Afrini Hardaway.
Afrini? Who is Afrini Hardaway?
I was trying to read fast. UD was on the team. Luke Jackson. Bobby Jones. Who the Matrix, Sean Marion.
Stugatz.
Zoe, Shaq, Smush Parker, Chris Quinn.
Hey, wait a minute.
D Wade.
Wait a minute.
Jason Williams, Darrell Wright. I mean, stacked roster.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
As an avid Uber rider, and by avid, I mean I must take like a zillion Ubers a day. A lot of people don't know this. Right before the pandemic, Uber had a plan to unveil like an unlimited ride program. Like you paid them a flat rate monthly and then you just rode.
Is there a limit to
there was a limit. Okay. Like you couldn't say drive me to San Diego, right? But like within a certain geographical limit.
Like a car subscription.
Pretty much.
Okay.
And I was thinking about it. I was like, nah, I'm never going to ride that many Ubers in a month. How could I do it? And now I'm like, wow, that would have been great if it still existed. But
you would have been grandfathered in like your Spotify plan.
My Spotify and Hulu.
What's your Spotify plan?
Spotify and Hulu had a joint plan years and years ago. It's like, if you subscribe to Spotify Premium, you get Hulu for free.
Yeah. How does that work now with Hulu being integrated? I don't like the new color for Disney Plus. I'm just going to say
I hate it.
Yeah. You're a parent.
What is it?
It's teal now. They combine the Hulu green with the blue
of
Disney Plus, and it's teal.
Yeah, it's ugly.
Makes my TV look off.
It looks very off. It looks like your TV has some issues, right?
Yeah, and it's still like, look, I have a child. I don't need to see poor things being advertised there. I had a Bluey. This is weird.
Dude, it's the craziest thing. When you fire up Disney Plus now, it goes from like...
More like tealy.
The Simpsons. And then it's like Bad Batch. And then it's like, what is it? Shogun. I'm like, wait a second, man. Like, you can't just
I'm getting to Shogun.
Shogun's that looks fire.
Good. Shogun
fire.
Is fire. I'm three episodes in.
Oh, I got to finish Curb now because you were so strong on Curb.
Curb is strong, but when you get a chance, Shogun is great. I literally, it's not a second screen show. Let me just
You have to be
anybody.
Reading.
It is 60%, Tony? Would you say
I like
more?
That, though. Yes. I'm trying to subtitles. Fix my posture and just because I'm always in my phone.
Same, man. This...
The one critique I have about Shogun,
it's
one thing that me and Mike Funz have talked about because we're the two guys that watch it. So they're essentially getting to Japan for the first time ever, right?
Well,
English sailors,
the English
sailors that get there are getting to Japan for the first time ever. The Portuguese have already settled. They've already made colonies. They've
Good,
already
because I can't
in the
understand
Catholic
this
Church.
Without a white man. Yeah.
So no. So what they do is. Half the show, 60% of the show, 70% of the show is in Japanese.
Yes.
So you're reading subtitles.
Yes.
But then they say that the translator speaks Portuguese.
Yes.
So the show is in English, but also Portuguese because they speak Portuguese.
So in the show...
That's accurate, though.
Even though the main white guy is an Englishman, he speaks Portuguese.
But he's speaking English.
But... And everybody, the other language spoken in Japan at the time is Portuguese because the Portuguese are the only ones who have...
Who made it?
Made it to Japan, and they kind of hid a secret to how to get there so that the rest of Europe couldn't do what they're doing, which is have these exclusive trade routes. So whenever the characters aren't speaking in Japanese, they're actually speaking in Portuguese, but because this is not a Portuguese show, this is a show for dumbasses like me and Tony and Fuentes, they make
I don't think it's a
English.
Show for dumbasses. The reviews for this, it was...
Oh, it's an amazing show.
It's got
but I'm just saying,
reviews.
like if they wanted to be really accurate, they'd be speaking
in Portuguese. Right. And then
we
just read subtitles the entire time.
Different colored subtitles.
Right.
Though,
like Parasite. You watch the entire movie in subtitles, and it was fine. I don't speak Korean.
Nope.
But I'd rather read and have the authentic thing of like them speaking Portuguese
than the
like,
double
okay,
over.
I'll read it.
Any hoodles is odd to see that when you're trying to fire up a Bluey.
Oh, yeah.
I'd prefer
highly
not.
Highly recommend.
Just put a Hulu tab on there. Make sure there's age verification and whatnot.
I mean, there is when you log in with your profile. Like, the profile is supposed to, because, like, my kids have a profile. Each one has their own profile. And when you go there, Hulu tab does not come up.
I don't have a profile for the kids. Now I got to go ahead and do that. So you're putting more work on me.
Well, but, like, this is the good news. Now the algorithm is going to be more curated so that when your daughter watches, she's going to get, like, targeted stuff. And then you get... Deadpool 3 or whatever that comes out.
All right, but are you grandfathered in still with your Spotify Hulu?
I'm still grandfathered
in.
Really? My Hulu, I still haven't paid it.
Are you Ubering a lot on work trips?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, to and from the airport.
When he's here, he doesn't have a car here.
To and from the airport is 90% of my Ubers. But then, Like when I'm here, if I go somewhere, definitely like I'm doing my expenses from All-Star Weekend, and there was a lot of Ubering because of inclement weather. But
when you're home, you have a car. So yeah. There's like a cost-benefit analysis of like just having a lease and
yes.
having a car versus, but you travel.
In the city I live in Phoenix, like there's no way the Uber, monthly Uber, if it existed, could beat a lease because it's impossible. Everything in Phoenix is 20 miles away, even though that's a 7-minute drive. Because you just gun it. Gun it like,
Tesla.
Like that video that you sent me of that guy.
I was looking at it. So I sent Amin a video last night because we were talking about Teslas yesterday and the pickup speed in which they go. And I didn't realize my stupid American brain was like, oh, they're doing it in kilometers.
Yeah.
So it starts going and I'm like, oh man, this Tesla's going fast. Wait a second. He's doing 200 miles an hour. Wait a second. He's doing 375. Yeah. What's happening? Yeah. But it was kilometers.
But that's
you
still very
love
fast.
Formula One.
It was still really fast. And especially when you see him passing like regular cars that of course are all speeding also, but he's going.
But nothing like it.
Yeah. And by the way, that was the Tesla Plaid, which is like.
The Plaid is the big boy.
That's the supercharger one. But given that I ride Teslas, ride Ubers a lot, I don't think I have a lot of Uber stories, mainly because I go comfort. I say, don't talk to me and all that. Tony, you seem to have Uber stories, though.
My issue is that I've strayed from the light, Amin, okay? I'm usually an Uber guy, right? Mm-hmm. With my Amex Platinum, I have
Uber
into
One.
Uber, right? So, like, I'm locked in. Look at me, Louie. There was one time, again, I'm a train taker. I take the train every single day. And there was one day that the train stopped at a certain stop and was like, hey, everybody out. There's something on the track. It wasn't the day that the guy was on the track. This is a different day. There's something on the track. Everybody's got to get out. The problem is as I exit the train with 500 other people, there's already like 500 people waiting in the platform that are all pissed. So I'm like, damn, okay, what do we do here? I'm still too far to walk to my house, but close enough where it's going to be like a 7-minute Uber ride.
Yeah.
So I get downstairs. And they're like, look, we have a bus, like a Metro Dade bus that's going to take you from this stop to the next stop, and then you'll be able to get on.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, do I take an Uber? I was like, you know what? I'll just get on the bus. No biggie. So the bus takes us to the next stop, and I'm like, I have to get out. This bus is terrible. Because there's people standing. It's like a Disney bus where everybody's just kind of standing, holding on to stuff. The problem is I have like a lady who's like 4'8", like 69 years old, sitting like right in front of me, so I can't really move. I don't
the
really
lady who tripped up the stairs that you didn't help up.
No, that was a different lady on a different train. But I should have helped
the lady who heard you fart.
No,
it might have been her actually. That's a callback to Mr. Crate. So I get out and I'm like, all right, I'm at the university stop, which is right in front of UM, and I'm like, I need to get off this bus. I'm gonna be sick. It's hot. It's disgusting. So I'm like, you know what? Let me call an Uber. So I call my Uber, and it says it's gonna be 25 minutes, and I'm like,
25 minutes to get there?
No, 25 minutes for them to come get me.
Okay. So yeah, 25, like that's the pickup time, not like the drop-off
Right,
time.
For whatever reason, because of the traffic on US-1, it was like 25 minutes to get me, and I was like, all right, let me check Lyft.
Yeah.
Not a huge Lyft guy.
Not me too.
You know, I stick with my stuff, but I strayed from the light. They said 7 minutes to pick me up on Lyft, and I was like, okay, it's going to be $15 to my house, whatever, no biggie.
That was Indianapolis, by the way. It was like Lyft's like 5 minutes. I'm like, all right, we're doing the Lyft then.
Might have to stray. So the guy picks me up. Hispanic guy, whatever, I talk to him in Spanish. I get in. I have a meeting that I have to be on a Zoom at 3:30. Right now it's like 3:15. It's going to take me like 15 minutes to get to the house, so I'm good. So I take off my headphones. It was hot, so I'm just getting AC.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there. And then all of a sudden, I hear this music that I've never heard before, right? And I'm looking at the guy. I just spoke to him in Spanish, right? And then I hear this like heavy metal, and I'm not a heavy metal guy. I'm not a rock
Alanis
guy.
Morissette, but
no. I'm not a heavy metal guy. I'm not a rock guy. Like I know my stuff. Yeah. I stick to my Latin music. I stick to my hip hop. Like that's what I do. So this guy starts playing, not just one song, but a playlist of heavy German metal. And I'm sitting in the back like, what
is Rammstein?
I'm like Rammstein. I guess whatever. I'm like, what is happening right now?
Stein.
So I'm listening to the songs and I'm like, this is insane. This guy, I don't know. I need to get home because I don't know what's going to happen here. So I start looking at the names of the songs in German.
Yeah.
I don't know, right?
Die Fliegen sind Stoko.
Whatever. So I'm looking, I'm like, you know what? Let me Google, because I don't know what they're saying. I have no idea. I just hear heavy metal rock.
Yeah.
I'm like, let me Google.
The lyrics?
No, the name of the song.
Okay.
I'm looking at the name of the song.
What was the name of the song?
It's Ich Hasser Kinder.
Ich Hasser Kinder.
What was the band?
I don't know what the band was, but it was a full playlist. But the song I decided to Google as I'm sitting in the back of this lift and I have 6 minutes to get to my house is Ich hasse Kinder, which when I put it in Google Translate means I hate children.
Oh.
I'm like,
Jessica?
I'm like, wow, this is a little weird.
Album by Tim Linderman.
Oh, isn't that the Rammstein guy?
My name is Tim Linderman, and I hate children.
It felt.
Yeah, I do.
It made me feel uneasy. Let's just say that.
Peek behind the curtain. I don't actually hate kids, but this weekend I was at a wedding, and this kid kept asking me to arm wrestle one of Lehman's cousins, and I had no mercy. I was so mad about the Notre Dame women's basketball game. I was like, all right, let's do it. 2 seconds, boom. And he's like, can we do it again? And I was like, sure. 2 seconds, boom. And he's like, can we do left hand? I was like, fine. 2 seconds, boom. I'm like,
I've got a line of kids.
I don't have time to.
But also, how do you feel that the kid looked at the entire wedding party and looked at you as I think I could take her?
He saw me and was like, oh yeah, she's the second youngest person here other than me. She'll arm wrestle
Tim Linderman?
I don't know.
No, it's not Linderman. It's Lindman.
That's Rammstein.
Yeah, Till Lindman. Yeah, he is the frontman of Rammstein. And he's 61 years old.
Wow. I keep in very good health.
Wasn't that band like very popular in like the 80s and 90s?
Yes. I remember them with Du Hast.
Yes. Yeah.
So mid-90s.
It was in The Matrix, wasn't it?
Mid-90s.
Yes, they're very popular.
Was it in The Matrix?
I think that was how I became aware of it, but I could be wrong.
Long story short, it was a very awkward Uber ride because he's blasting this heavy metal.
How
German.
Old is this guy?
He's in his 40s maybe.
Okay.
But like Hispanic guy, because we spoke in Spanish, but he is just cruising, listening to this music.
What kind
I'm
of
like,
car?
You don't even understand it.
Yeah, no kind of car.
Like a Toyota Corolla or something.
Yeah, that's.
You can be in the worst car in the world, but if the driver's listening to something like sort of nice, it feels like you're in a limousine. I was in an Uber that it was like a Camry, and he was listening to the NPR classical station on the way to LaGuardia the other day, and I was like, "Ooh,
you've never been more hoity-toity in your life." He said, it could be the worst car in the world, but if it's playing something nice, it feels great. Like, I was in like a Camry. Which
I just picked the most popular car.
You picked the car that's
normal car.
I used
nice
to
car.
Own.
A Camry, and he was playing the NPR classical station. And then
that guy must suck.
Yeah, and then Jessica got her little teacup out.
Big tip. Big tip for this guy.
Hell yeah.
I like Camrys.
I like your car, and I like your radio station. You get a big tip.
My guy hated kids.
I hate children.
It's, you know what? It's not as pleasant as that. No. Yeah. it's a lot more.
Surge? I don't know. That's what a lot of those songs sound like to me.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world. But once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time! To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.